Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have you join us again this August 10th, 2017. We have another good topic tonight that we want to engage in. On the last episode of Talk Straight, we concluded that it is most valuable to seek for knowledge as opposed to making money. As a follow-up to that conversation, tonight we address the concept of the game of life. We want to answer the question, who determines who wins and who loses in life? I hope that certainly I can grow from such a dialogue. That's our topic tonight, the game of life. Who determines the winners and losers? You can give us a call here and join a live conversation for the next hour and a half at 657-383-0944. For our Facebook group, our participants in our Facebook group, feel free to communicate with us via your comments or questions on Facebook, or call us right here live. We'd love to hear from you. Call us right here live, 657-383-0944. We thank you all for being a part and listening in and chiming in. Shoot us a little statement on Twitter or communicate with us on Facebook there. But, again, it's always best to and enjoyable to have you join us here live on air. We do anticipate having Pastor Waller to join us this evening, our regular panelist, and also author of the book Still High. And I'm grateful that he and I have a vision to work together to use his voice in print to help young men. For our new listeners, that's the nature of the show, is to open a national dialogue, and we're targeting 10 cities. This can be gleaned best by going to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com, and to look at our various initiatives. But specifically, we have a crime intervention piece as well as a national lecture piece, and we're hoping and endeavoring to share that in several cities. We're based in Nashville, Tennessee, and we hope to come your way. If you'd like to have us come, there's contact information on the website as well. Please give me a call or shoot me an email, and we'll be more than happy. Call us tonight. Tell us who you are, what you're doing, and how we might be able to work together. All right. So normally what we do is we start off with a monologue, and the monologue is intended to, we don't want to be too verbose or too long, but it's intended to give us a factual basis, a background conversation for the next about an hour and 15 minutes or so on Talk Straight. Your host will share with you some things, and I hope if you have difference with that, please share that with us. We honor that. All we ask is that you be respectful in your opinion that you offer it, and we can grow from it. I can grow from it, and hopefully we can grow from one another's conversation. But we definitely encourage you to give us a call. And again, that number is 657-383-0944. That's the studio here at Talk Straight. All right. Having said that, we're going to move into our monologue now, and we'll entertain any of you that might call us here. The scriptural text in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 11th verse reads, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." I'd like to begin by defining concept of gain functionally as well as life, and then go into our conversation for tonight, if you all will bear with me. Gain, a form of play or sport, especially a competitive one, played according to prescribed rules and decided by the demonstration or the use of skills, a type of activity or business, especially when regarded as a game. A game also refers to manipulate a situation, typically in a way that is unfair or unscrupulous. That means you got game and you run in game. The two aspects of a game that is determined by the individual that is participating in the game, those two aspects are physical output and personal ability. No one can control natural energy or talent, all of us. No one but the creator, a man himself. This idea of survival of the fittest is a phrase that originated from Charles Darwin's evolutionary theory as a way of describing the mechanism of natural selection in life. As we, you know, we all come from sperm and egg, and we go through a process, and some species don't survive very long, of human beings, that is, because they have weak genetic processes or genes. Darwin spoke to this, basically. The biological concept of fitness he defines as reproductive success. In other words, you're able to reproduce and bring about another generation. In Darwinian terms, the phrase is best understood as survival of the form that will leave the most copies of itself in successive generations. In other words, which animal or human has the ability to outlast others and survive the challenges of their natural environment. Furthermore, in Darwin's thought, which was superior? Of course, this was crazily applied to concepts of racism and discrimination and things of that nature historically that we hopefully reject. But the idea is where what we're talking about is where the idea was somewhat introduced to humanity and mankind and some of the things that we see today. Okay? So that's the game. Life. Life is the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter, such as steel or rocks or water, etc., including the capacity for growth, reproduction, functional activity, and continual change that precedes death. In other words, from the time we're born, we're changing, we're evolving. We know you're alive because you do so. It is the existence of an individual human being or an animal. Previously alluded to, life is a gift from Yahweh Elohim, or the Lord God, and we are all equipped with the same gift at conception, indiscriminately. The latter fact begs the question then, just who introduced this foolish notion of competition in a natural process that's available to all human beings without regards to your race, your ethnicity, your gender, your national origin, your creed, or even your philosophical position? Since the fall of man, while he was in the garden, he's found himself constantly groping in darkness. Out of ignorance, he competes against his fellow man, trying to be the better, best man, so much so until he competes against himself. In the context of social existence, the concept of game of life concerns itself with exerting power over others to control natural resource. Both politics and war are the engines of human greed, to have and dominate as much as they can, not only in one place, but in the world abroad. Today, a serious challenge for many of our good young people in America, competing for relevance and the acquisition of what's called the so-called American dream. Now, for the sake of our dialogue tonight, I'd like to focus our attention on the determinants of winning or losing at the so-called game of life. Whether we want to or not, we must accept and deal with the fact that somebody is competing against you. And if you're not careful, you will lose. I'm going to offer you 5 steps to success, being pretty good at this game we call life. Number 1, study the nature to the rules of the game, whether you like them or not. Position yourself to play and play well by those rules. Then position yourself to create your own game or incorporate yourself in the rules that others will soon follow. Lastly, invest in other people and leave a door for others to invest in you. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery, the game of life, who determines winners and losers. We are now opening up our phone lines. Invite you to call us right here at 657-383-0944. I got my good friend Pastor Waller on, and old brother Charles, it looks like, and as well as my good friend Outcast. Good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
How you doing?
All right, wonderful. Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
You ready to compete, man?
Oh, man, it's not like there's a game going on.
It's a game going on, baby. It's a game going on out here. Listen,
yeah,
gentlemen,
man.
What game.
Yeah.
What I plan to do, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said I played the game, so there's no way I can, you know, get down that. Yeah.
And well, I know you're going to
be able
to. Yeah. I know you're going to chime in on me. Listen, I have with me tonight Casey and JoJo, and they're going to give us a perspective on the game. Cuba Gooding Jr. was the lead singer with a group called the what was that group called?
Main Ingredients.
Help me out, Cass. Huh?
Main Ingredients.
Yeah, the Main Ingredients. You get the Main Ingredients. They're going to talk. He's going to talk to me a little bit about life. And I want us, as we hear from him, I want us to chime in on that. That's our dialogue tonight. And then lastly, Bob Marley. Y'all know Bob Marley. Y'all know who he is. He's going to give us a little perspective on life. But before we do that, where are you gentlemen at? You heard my monologue. is this a real notion that you got to compete in life? You know, when you think about Outcast, God gave us all a natural gift and talent. Why we got to compete with anybody to prove anything to anybody?
Well, you know, you're always going to have a so-called elite group of people. First, fast, and foremost, most intellectual, most intelligent.
Right.
This is why, I guess, this was designed, but, you know, in today's time and past times, it has been taken too far, because when you are competing in the game, the rules of the game change if you're winning, if you're not the right color. You know, especially, well, you know, the athletic field, you know, the whole 9 yards. You know anything about Jim Thorpe?
Thorpe, did you say? Yeah,
Thorpe,
a little
T-H-O-R-P-E,
bit.
Jim Thorpe. Yeah, I'm
going to
use it. Now, look at him. He was an Indian. But the thing is this. You know, I mean, he was an all-around American, but they figured out a way to stop him. And they stopped him because they wanted to a certain, you know, certain race of people to be on top.
I got you.
All right, I'll be quiet.
No. Well, that's a good point. It's very similar to when they outlawed dunking, Pastor Wallace, back in the, what was it, the 60s? They outlawed dunking because certain people were able to get up there and others were not, you know. And they said, hey, that's illegal. We can't do that. But they brought it back in. They brought it back in basketball. So let's do this. Let's check out what Casey and JoJo asked. And the question I pose to them is this, gentlemen: what is an ideal life? And let's for a few seconds here. Let's hear what they got to say.
Just like a bird, I just wanna fly.
It's interesting to me, Charles, how when some people talk about life, they're talking about how well they control and master things around them. And when other people talk about life is a pipe dream about what they desire to have. How do we get that, Charles?
I'm kind of still just tuning in. I'm still adjusting. I'm sorry. I missed it today.
All right.
Okay.
Let me throw that at Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace, how do we get to how some people, they living in a pipe dream, man. It's always about what they want. They ain't never having none. Other people, when they talk about life, they talk about what they've acquired already, what they control.
You say some people. Yeah, I like that. So,
I ain't calling no name.
Yeah, that helps it out a lot, you know. And when I hear you talking about the game and talking about winning and versus losing, you know, I remember sometimes, and I can't help but to say I'm glad to be able to recall and to look back and to remember. I was winning when actually I was losing.
Okay.
You see, but then I discovered, through the process, I discovered something. It says, just like in athletics, you know, an athlete, you know, when he competes, You know, so I know I played the game. There's no question about that. I understand that, and I used to love to win. And sports was where I thought, you know, the game was being played at. But then I messed around and got caught up in street life, and street life played me. See, I'm the one got played. I thought I was playing the game, but I actually, again, was losing. So then when I got a chance to turn my life over to God, and then it's something about athletics was in the Bible. And it says that athletics, you know, it says an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
Ah.
You see, rules, you know what I mean, in playing the game. And so what I got out of that is that as long as I have a great teacher, the greatest instructor, the greatest instructor in the world as my guide, automatic win. The reason why I say that, I was tired of losing, man. And so my leader told me, don't ever trust me. Never ever trust me. And see, as long as I don't trust me, I win. Don't make no difference what you throw at me.
Okay.
You see? Now, that's humble. I'm humbly saying that now. I mean, according to the scripture.
Yes, sir.
That's only according to the scripture because I stopped trusting me 25 years ago. I mean, every moment for 25 years, I made sure the number one thing I don't do is trust me. Because the Bible says, whosoever trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. And, man, once I was delivered, that's when I was able to win.
So it sounds like you're describing that man I was talking about in my monologue who's groping in darkness, always trying to outdo everything and everybody, so much so just look up, he done outdone himself. He done cut himself.
Yeah, you got to check yourself, man. So I don't try to, you know, outdo no one else or anything.
Okay.
I know that, you know, hey, man, I mean, this is, you see, in a race, all run, but only one win the prize.
Watch it,
so
man. Watch it.
You have to obtain it. You see, that's what it is.
Right.
It's a race going on. But I don't get in your lane. And I know if you get in my lane, you're disqualified. So you can't win, you're in my lane. And if I'm in your lane, I can't win. You see what I'm saying? So I make sure that I run according to the rules. I do not get in nobody else's lane. That's just hands down. I refuse to do that. You know, because I love to win, man. I thought I was winning years ago.
And then you realize you wasn't.
Yeah, I thought it now. That's what I thought. I thought I was winning.
Pastor, just for a second. Consider what Ecclesiastes 9:11 says. At the end of the verse, it says, "But time and chance happen to them all."
Yes.
Now, ahead of that, it said, "There's no guarantee that the fastest man gonna win the race, nor the strongest man will be able to survive to the end." Right.
And it said,
gentlemen, that even if you're rich, ain't no guarantee you're going to have better understanding than everybody else. Nor will you have favor if you got some sort of skill set. But it said time and chance. I locked on that word chance because it means that it's probable and possible for you to fail or to succeed. It depends on what you do in the race and how you get down.
That's true. I love that. I appreciate that because I believe that. That's personal, but I do believe that.
Yes, sir. I mean, I've had to learn that myself, Charles, that, yeah, you can come in swinging, but you may not last.
That's right, man.
You may not last 12 rounds. You know, a good boxer understands that you got to balance your endurance as well as your strength, so you don't swing at the air and wear yourself out before six rounds. And then next man stand back and see you tired, you lose your legs, he's going to knock you on off, you know. Is that right, Al Cass?
That's correct.
I mean, but it is a game, though, isn't it, gentlemen? And, you know, we may not like it, and it may not be fair, but it's a game out there. It is a game. And the catch is, the more you know about it. Go ahead, Charles. You gonna say something?
After you was hitting right where I was going. You said the more you know about it, say it again.
I was going to say, the more you understand the nature and the rules of the game, the better chances are you can come out on top in the game. And sometimes, brethren, we think we're smart enough to cheat and go around and circumvent the rules. And at the end, I like what Outkast said, it's the man that write the rules that control them. If you ain't writing the rules, man, you better go on playback. Because one of the number one rules is, if I'm the author of the rules, as the author, I can change it when I get rid. I can interpret how I want to because I wrote it. Now, catch is, we better go get our own game, get ourselves some game of our own. And that's what I was talking about when I was talking about being incorporated and being a part of the business fabric of America. Now, I'm talking about being successful in the game of life in America, man. Because there are some young people who are frustrated that they even went to college, man, and got in debt, and they still can't find meaningful work. They're still looking for a job and a purpose and a function in life. So did it do them any good? I mean, and I promote education now. I promote education. But you definitely have to know what you're doing and how to play this game. So, anybody want to come in there before we move on to Casey and JoJo? I got another question for them. Go ahead. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, you definitely do have to. You definitely got to know that. Like, for education is just knowledge and know what to go about. Education don't mean necessarily go back to school for anything. It's just basically knowing something that you didn't know yesterday. That's education.
Right.
You know, I guess that'd be a little bit more beneficial when people realize education. Mm-hmm. I mean, education just on YouTube. You can sit there on YouTube all day. I promise you can learn something you didn't know. So different levels.
Well,
of it. Like the basic.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Charles, you said something key, because one of the characteristics of a living thing is that it's able to respond to its environment, adapt, and grow. And that's what really learning is. You learn how to build on where you were and move to the next place. You understand what I'm saying? And education is simply a process of learning. Where you, like you said, Charles, where you go and you acquire information so that you can use that information to improve yourself or to get around or do whatever it is you need to do. And if you keep your eyes open long enough, you're going to learn something.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yes. You're right.
Pastor Waller told us that a sleeper don't catch nothing but a dream. That's what he said. I mean, I believe that, man. That ain't stuck with me.
Yeah,
that
man.
Thing stuck with me.
Great.
You better wake
brother.
Up, man. Yeah, you
yes,
better wake
sir.
Up and realize, hey, what's going on out here? But
right. And
yes, sir. Go ahead.
I want to add this. I was listening to Charles. I mean, even in education, the game is in there too. It's who you
right.
know, how
right.
up on the
okay.
scale of the elite that you are, that would ensure
mm-hmm.
you. Get certain positions, wealthy positions in the working society.
Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I do, but look, Outkast, here's what Booker T. Washington said. Booker T. Washington said, we know that there's a certain expertise that we have, no one else has. So let's start our own school and let's properly train and educate future generations so that they can be in control of that expertise. And guess what? Even white men gave to help do that because they realized it was going to make it easy for them in the long run. You probably want to say
right.
that,
so,
okay?
Right, so therefore, in a sense, I'm not changing the subject. I'm staying on the subject,
no,
but
okay.
I'm going to use this statement, and I'm quite sure you
okay.
know what I'm talking about. When I speak
okay.
of it, you know,
okay.
Out here in society, when people are just, you know, trapped up in the drugs and things of that nature, would you not
right.
take that as being a model of the allegory of the cave? You remember that one? The allegory
yeah,
of the cave?
Wow. Okay.
So,
okay.
Can I
just, yeah, briefly, why don't you introduce that to us? Yeah, elaborate on it just for a little bit before we go to our next.
If you remember, what was going on? These people, you know, they was, you know, dwelling around in a cave, you know, walking around thinking and stuff like that, but all their lives they had been in a cave. And finally, some start coming out of that cave, coming into the light, and they begin to learn other things.
Wow.
So I would say that the allegory of the cage concept, it could be applied to a society. What do you think?
Great point. And see, I agree with you 1,000%, brother. And this is all I'm saying. Even with this gentleman, this notion, Pastor Waller, that we're trying to take to other cities, we got to bring people out of the darkness, man, out of the cage of ignorance. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I don't mean that disrespectfully. But the truth is, there's some good people that are in the cage. And I like the way you put that, Alcat. If you come out the cave, man, you'll realize there's a big world out there.
Exactly.
You know? And you can do a whole lot more with and for yourself if you just had the courage to come out of darkness.
Exactly. Even though they may feel that they're in the light, they're still in the darkness. You know, contributing basically a lot of antisocial behavior, behaviors that would get them sent to prison or to the graveyard and possibly a mental institution real quickly.
Sure.
But I hope.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Wow. That's heavy. Let me hit Casey and JoJo for a second, and I pose a question to them. What troubles you the most about life? What is it that get your goat about life all the time? Gentlemen, he said, somebody has done me wrong, and it looked like to me that time is slipping away from me. I can't tell you how many people I grew up with, how many people I know today and have known over the years. That's where they are. They're angry as all get out, and they're ready to hit anybody that come their way simply because it feel like I'm losing time, losing place. And somebody done took something from me. Is that a healthy position, gentlemen?
No. Control the mind. No, it's stated.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alfred.
No. I'm listening, y'all.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a dangerous mindset to be in, even though it got a little truth to it, but you got to can't respond according to. Think this thing out. It's chess out here. It ain't checkers. I mean, it's the obvious out here, but at the same time, we got to be careful how you approach, because you be so eager to jump in and just to win when you discover something you can lose by approaching too fast. So
absolutely.
You got to be careful about it.
Right, right. And Pastor Waller, that's just like playing one-on-one basketball against somebody, and you start talking crap crazy on the court, and they get so mad that you're talking about their game. Isn't that the same hustle, right, Pastor?
Yeah, that's pretty tough right there. That's why it's a good thing to stay humble. You know,
right.
You know, I had a friend of mine, you know, some good example that you put out there. And I know he don't mind me saying this because he wanted to play me some one-on-one. And he said what he was going to do to me. He said he was going to beat me. He said all of that. And then, not only did he say that, he told me, he was going to make me tell everybody in the circle that we know that he beat me. That's what he's saying, man. And
is that
I
what
he said? That's all I have to say. I said, oh, yeah. And so we played, and I beat him. And so
Okay.
Make him tell everybody. Instead of me telling everybody, I made him tell. Don't forget to tell him now. You know, because that's what competition is. It was a friendly thing, you know, and he went on and he told them. But just imagine him saying to me that he was going to make me tell everybody that he beat me. Okay? And I mean, he played good and everything. So it's a matter of staying humble at all times, man. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think it's appropriate. And even though, you know, if someone has some information that was valuable, if I'm losing and someone has some information that would cause me to win and withhold it from me, I consider that person who's withholding that information a loser. Because why wouldn't I consider myself being, as I know a lot of people are right now, that's captured out there. You know, I talk about the trap a lot because the Word of God speaks about it. And there are people out there, man, and they just need the information. And you never know, they may not change as fast. You know, some get there sooner than others. But the bottom line is that I don't look at them as losers. You know, the people that's out there caught up, captured. I look at them, those are people who are seeking information, man, that they deserve, you know, someone to, you know, to get the information out there to them. And that's when I think about winning and losing. That's my thought.
Go ahead.
Paul said himself that he was a debtor. You know, he's dead, man. He said, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, and once you get to that point, it's nothing boastful about it. But if I wasn't ashamed of doing what the enemy had me doing when I thought I was winning, and I'm disrupting my neighborhood, my community, and now I realize that, and the enemy said, hey, don't say nothing about that. You know, he's trying to tell me don't say nothing about that. But no, I was losing then. So what's wrong with you? But to know that I'm ready now to bring forth the good news that will cause people to win. I don't know how many people may receive it, but if I don't put it out there, then what good is it to have information,
that will cause other people
to win? That's why it's good to have a good instructor, you know, and that's what God has been to me, man. He gave me the right instructions, and I followed them, you know, and my life changed. And that's what a winner is to me, you know, one that's humble, that's able to follow.
Oh, no, wait. Come on.
Go ahead.
No, he said, come on with it. He said, come on with it.
I mean, that's it, man. It kind of gave me a chance to appreciate, you know, and to be thankful, you know, and to learn how to know that there are many people out there. And they say, the Bible says, we then who are strong, all to bear the infirmity of the weak, man. I mean, there's a lot of weak people, but I look at them as winners. And all they need is just the information so they can apply themselves. And, you know, generation after generation, man, I think they deserve it.
Now, you were saying some stuff, man, that was catching my ear now. So it sounds like what you're concluding is that the real characteristic of a winner is someone who understands it's possible for me to lose. So I better keep my mind straight and sober enough to stay in the game and to be keenly aware of everything that's coming at me. Is that what you said?
Yes, I mean, that's it.
I can't come out boastful because I know I'm strong now. I know I'm bad. My daddy told me I was bad. I can't come out and chump everybody. You mean tell me? I mean, if you know you good, man, go on. I mean, you know you good. Why you can't tell everybody how good you are?
Right. I mean, you can walk it, you can talk it, but stay humble with it. You know what I mean? And when I say that, it's like, you know, two men, you know, that went up into the temple to pray. You know, one was a Pharisee and one was a publican. You see what I'm saying? And one of the Pharisees had been there for a while, so he stepped out there and told God how much he appreciated everything he had done, you know?
Right.
And then he looked around and, you know, as he was testifying, you know, God listened to him. But then he turned, you know, pointed his finger at the guy that was with him.
Wow.
You know, and how bad was that, man? I mean, this guy here, you know, he felt like, hey, I've been watching this brother. He's going up in there, and I'm going to hook up with him so I can see if I can get to know God myself. But he turned around and pointed his finger and said, I'm not like him. And pointed his finger at the man. Could you ever imagine? You know, we thought, you know, we was in that together. And that's why, you know, this man was blessed. This man was blessed, you know what I mean, when he went down to his house, you know, because he humbled himself and said, God, you know, and told him, he said, I'm letting you know what I am. You know, he asked him for compassion, man, and that compassion on him, and he did.
I think about O.J. Simpson and his current situation, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. I think about Mike Tyson. They were all good at what they did, but the game that they were playing, they weren't controlling the game, and the people that made them in some ways were able to break them.
Man,
all they had to do was a slip up. It was a slip up one time and make the wrong move. Isn't that amazing how that go?
It is amazing. Yep.
Charles, go ahead, Charles. I'm sorry.
Say all that hard work went right down the drain because one bad image overpowered the whole lifestyle of success. That's crazy how one incident can do that.
I mean,
I'm good enough to recognize it. It don't make me look at them no different. I just know that was one day, one moment, one minute. I wonder how many other people view it in the same light.
Wow.
Right.
Good point, man.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, Charles, here's the flip side to that coin. Just because I may have slipped up one moment in my life, had a moment of indiscretion, does that make me a perpetual loser? Is there another chance for me to come back? You know what I mean?
Most definitely.
And if I let somebody else convince, if I let another man convince me that it's over for me, yeah, it's over. Yeah, it's over for me. But I better know for myself that I got a chance of coming back again.
I agree, man.
Extremely deep. I tell you.
And that's what the little shawties out in the street who's fathers, their uncles, their families, it seemed like they've been done wrong by them. Society has failed them. And they feel like, man, because they said I'm a nobody, they said I'm a criminal, they said I'm a felon, it's over with for them. But it don't have to be over if you don't make it over for yourself. That's the message right there.
Exactly.
I agree with that. That's the message right there.
It's true. Sometimes when stuff like that happens and you feel like it kind of puts you in a better direction to be looking at stuff, a better way to start looking at life when stuff like that happens. So that kind of is a blessing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to lose some stuff to start seeing right. You know what I'm saying? So.
Hey, Charles, what the Lord is doing.
It's a half empty. Which one is it? Is it half full or is it half empty? You got to look at it.
Watch out, Charles. What the Lord is doing, Charles, is trying to clean some of our mess that's clouding our vision out the way and get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're wise, this is what Pastor Wilder was talking about, if we're wise, we'll realize that the things that we were holding on to were in the way of the things that had yet to come for us. Now, why would I answer this for me, brother? Why should I hold on to a fistful of crumbs when I can have a whole loaf of bread?
Wow. Man.
That's deep.
Yes, sir.
Good
question. Yes, the game of life. The game of life. Who determines winners and losers? That's what we're talking about. It's almost top of the hour. Let me slide this in right quick, brother. And I want to hear from Cuba Gooden Jr. after this, and then we'll bring it back in this next set of questions that I want to ask Cuba Gooden Jr. is, what advice does he have, Outkast, for those who are brokenhearted and feel like giving up? But let me slip this in there right quickly, and then we ask Cuba Gooden about
that. Play the fool. Is everybody play the fool?
Watch out now. Hold on. I'm coming back to you.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
All right, Outkast. All right, come on, man. Give it to me.
Well,
he said before,
I really
you,
don't
before
have a
you
comment.
Do something, look, yeah, he said before you do something drastic, before you go off and then kill yourself and what have you, just understand everybody done slipped up.
Praise the fool.
Pastor St. Paul said that all have sinned and fallen short. Huh?
Yep, you said.
Even if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we done messed up somewhere. Somebody done messed up along. But that don't mean you act the game, though.
No.
That's the catch.
No, that don't mean that.
You know, it ain't over for you.
Mm-mm.
You pack up and leave. Yeah, it's over. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you said it. It's not over by all means. That's why I understand what he said when he said all have. That don't mean
that's
it's
right.
Ongoing. He said all have. You know, so I'm in my experience, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm guilty.
I trusted myself. That caused all that to take place. I didn't know any better. I was ignorant. I understand now. You know,
right.
But do I have to continue to be ignorant? Because I was ignorant. Now, if I didn't know, understandable. See, the reason why I say I don't trust me, I mean that because, you know, it's detrimental if I do trust me. And I don't say when I trust me, I say if I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember those days when I trust me, years and years and years and years. I remember that. I'm not ashamed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to be aware that it's okay to say, I'm not trusting me today. I cannot afford it.
Mm.
You know, I know I can't afford it. Not from the information that I've gathered, you know. And believe me, you know, why would the word explain this to me and says give instructions to a wise man,
mm-hmm.
and he would be yet wiser. Teach
well,
a just man,
so,
and he increase in learning. Sound like this person here is willing to follow instruction. He's willing to learn, but that don't mean he's saying he know everything. It's just that it says in all you're getting, get understanding.
Mm.
And
right.
that was, you know, that was my starting point when I heard the man in the church house say, God is able. Now, I know the Bible got a whole lot more to say, but I couldn't handle
right.
everything this is. I just had to take that, and I embraced it, you know, and
right.
I appreciate that, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I really did. I appreciated it so much that I always remind myself that don't take away from what you've learned. Accept it. Embrace it. Appreciate it. And walk in it. You know, had
okay.
that man not said those simple words, man, there's no telling where my life would have gone.
Gotcha.
But he said, God
yeah.
is able.
He's
that was
able.
More than enough. And
okay.
I got a chance to find out yeah, that he's able, man.
So, is that anything similar to lean not to your own understanding?
That's
in
what it
all
says.
Your, in all
yes,
your
ma'am.
Ways.
That's right.
Acknowledge
That's right.
him, and he will mm-hmm. direct you. Is that what you're trying to get at? Is that where you're going with
yes,
that?
I'm saying to you, brother. That's exactly what I'm saying to you, man. I stopped trusting me, and I started trusting him. I refused to lean to my own understanding. It didn't matter if I was snorting hair in church. I still didn't lean to my own understanding. After I put it in his hand, I said, look at God, I don't know you. I'm getting ready to try you. And once I try you, I don't never want to trust me again. Didn't know nothing about the word of God.
Now, Pastor.
Huh?
Pastor, I'm going to play the devil's advocate right now. Okay?
Yeah.
I like what you're saying, but I'm going to play the devil's advocate right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little shawty on Lishy Avenue. I ain't never been to nobody's church. In fact, I wonder where God was when I lost my mama. You understand what I'm
right.
saying? And I've been hearing people talk about this. I've been hearing people talk about how good God is and how he bless you. But I've been hustling all my life since I was about 10 years old. I'm only 17 now. How am I going to, what you want me to do, stop what I'm doing so I can lean and lean on God and trust him? I mean, all I know is me and my 9mm Glock. And what I got
yeah.
in my pocket himself. Help me with that, man. How do I reach a young brother like that?
Yeah, you're raising that question to me, right? I would like to.
Well,
I would like
to
say
the, to the panel, to the whole panel. I mean, to the whole panel. Maybe Outkast and Charles can help us out.
Yeah, because it's all right. I'd like to talk about that, man. But I'm gonna let you hear from them.
Okay.
And if
okay.
they decide
right.
to, it, you know,
Charles,
not
Charles,
I
you
want to
weigh in, man? Charles, you want to weigh in on that, man?
Oh, man, so a young man who done lost his parent, you got to be understanding, first of all. I mean, especially if you haven't lost nothing to that degree. I mean, some people talk about everything is going to be all right, but sometimes it's not going to
mm-hmm.
be all right. Let that man move there. But take time, you know, all wounds are not going to be up. If it do get better, you got to be honest in that situation. You can't be like, oh, everybody go through it and just brush it off like just something. Sometimes it's a hard thing to deal with, and it. You know, and that's the time where you start making the most ignorant decision. But
wow.
I promise
yeah.
you, you know, it does
wow.
get better, but in the process, you're not going to want to hear what I'm saying. I get that, and I understand you as well. I understand why you want to keep on leaning on your rock and keep on serving your practice. You're frustrated. You're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But same time,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be a young man one day. Everybody,
right.
just because you're right here doing that, I mean, just think about when you get 40. You're not going to want to do that
right.
at 40 years old, man. You don't want to throw
right.
in all your eggs in one basket based off one season that you're in. One day you're going to be grown. And when you become grown, you're going to want to buy a house. And all the things that you're doing as a teenage, it's going to come back and get you in the end when you grow up, because you're going to grow up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be telling me. It's either one or the other. So, be, you know, you got to be cautious in that situation. That's what I would say.
Charles,
yeah.
I had an uncle we called Uncle Little Brother, right? He was my daddy's, one of my dad's younger brother. And you know what he told me when I was running around like a little urchin in the streets of Chicago? He said, son, the only way you live to get old if you don't fool around and die young. That stuck with me. Yeah, that stuck
that's
with me.
That's the only That's it.
I mean, but that's where a lot of our young brothers are, man. And it's not just, I noticed something, Outkast. It's not just white children. It's not just black boys out there. There are a lot of Caucasian, if you want to call them that, who are trying to emulate blackness, and they're doing the same thing, man. Exactly. They're getting caught up in the same game.
Hispanics and Asians, all of them.
A lot of Hispanics are too. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think what they first,
go ahead, Charles.
I don't mind being in the game, but I feel like it's a problem when you don't know who the opponent is that you're playing against.
Wow.
We call the system. I ain't talking about, I need to see this person's face. I got to know
your
background. I need to know you qualified to get up from the country. Without that, I don't like playing a game when I don't know who I'm against. So now I'm fighting myself. I got with the face out here. He's hiding behind Uncle Sam or name or whatever. And nobody knows who's running all this and creating government, then how is everybody playing? How is everybody cooperating and just letting it go?
Right.
Whatever. Nobody even knows these people. I got a problem with that. I want to know these people.
You are saying something that is really, really important. There are a lot of people, Charles, swinging that cap because they don't even know who the enemy is.
They don't have a clue who the enemy is.
Depending on what you are doing and what you are into, some things you know who your enemy are. You know who your competition is. If you're dealing drugs and things of that nature, you're going to have the FBI, Metro Police, federal government, RICO, and everything else.
Right.
In another line of competition, depending on what you're doing or what you're into, now I agree with y'all. Sometimes you don't know who the enemy are. But it's always most important to try to find out who the enemy is. Even on jobs and things of that nature. Well, they say human resources look like your biggest enemies right there. Human resources.
It could be.
You know?
Yes, sir.
And I listen.
No. You brothers are cooking now. Y'all cooking with propane now. This ain't butane. This is propane.
But that is
so real. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I don't need to say that.
No, I'm just reeling here because this is very, man, this is, Charles, I shot an email to a couple of people, prospective funders, who I asked to listen to our broadcast. I hope they hear us tonight, and I hope they know that what we're really talking about is not what we said, but how you get the people that we want to reach and serve to change their behavior, man. And this is where it starts. You got to understand that if you're in a competition, you got to know who the players are. You got to know the players.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean?
That's how we fair.
And who's going to teach you that? Who's going to teach you that? I want to go back to the little guy described the pastor.
Yes,
what he don't realize, is that, son, you didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask the circumstances to take your mother away. And you didn't ask to have to grow up real fast and take care of yourself. The only God he knew, Pastor, was his 9mm Glock. That was the only God. That was the only power he understood. Charles, you said it right. The last thing you want to do is to go and try to take that out of his hand because he'll pop you first before he let you take it.
Right.
That's the knee-jerk reaction. That's a knee-jerk reaction. They're going to start busting caps, right, out of protection. That's the last thing you do is to tell him that you don't have a right to grieve, you don't have a right to be hurt, you don't have a right to want someone to hear your story. That's the last thing you want to do because you're doing him a disservice. But at the same time, you've got to be prepared to offer him a shoulder, words of encouragement, instruction, and to be firm fair and consistent with what you say and what you do. That's the best way to get them out of that hole.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best way to get them out of that hole. I mean, because he will fool around and he can fool around and shoot himself, man, out of anger. He's so mad. He's so mad he don't know what to do.
That's the nature of it. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you know.
That's
exactly
what could happen. The anger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're talking about a person who's dealing with all that at once, and then suddenly, you know, you want to give information to him, man, and when I say God will meet a person where they are, you know, that's one thing. But to tell a person to stop doing something that he first of all don't know how to stop doing,
right?
And I use that by way of experience, you know. And that's why I deal with the loving God, as I always share it like that, and I say it by being humble, because God didn't even tell me to stop doing what I was doing.
Okay.
The only thing for me was to change my direction. You see, so I had to bring the gun, the drugs, the lifestyle I was living to him. You know how I used to hear people in church say things like this, you know, trouble don't last always. And I heard him say that.
I said it before. Said that before.
Yes. And if I can bring my trouble to him, you know, we're talking about what's in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? It's actually that, but if I don't know what's in the Bible, and I heard someone say that, that's a cliche what they're saying, but they're not able to show it to me in the Bible either, because I don't even have a Bible. But I heard them say that. Trouble don't last always. They say the song, and they say the song, and really, you know? You know, I'm receiving that because I know I'm in trouble, and you said it won't last long. And then they said something like this, you know, you have to try it for yourself. All these cliches I'm hearing. And then later on I found out that in the Bible, according to Psalms 46:1, it said God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, so what happened was I was in trouble and God was very present while I was in trouble. He got in my trouble with me.
Okay.
God is out of the trouble that I was in. You see, so he didn't told me to stop doing what I was doing. He just wanted me to believe that I could receive help from him if I just only believe. And that's just how it took place. But not everybody is going to go at it like that, and I understand that, but that was my experience. So if God didn't tell me to stop doing what I was doing, it would be detrimental to me to go out there in the streets and tell somebody to stop doing what they're doing, man. It wouldn't be fair to the mission, you see. But to meet someone as God right where they are, you have to be equipped to do that, man. And I'm not saying that in any other way other than saying if you're not sent out there to do that, don't go out there and play with those people, because you can raise some more harm. Just saying, the guy can take the gun and shoot himself. Because you tell him to stop doing something, you know. You have to learn how to minister to the people in such a way that they will be able to receive, man, and appreciate your concern, you know. And I just think that's fair, man. I just think it's fair.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. I guess we can conclude that really the closest thing to hope, Charles, that little brother will have is your presence and your example. Even if you don't pull out the Bible or cross or any of that, it's your presence and your example that represents the hope that he has at that moment anyway.
Right.
Wow.
If he was a Muslim, he can't receive nothing that I'm saying.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
So you really can't pull out I don't know if I might be correct on this show about that. I'm gonna skip that. Everybody got a different kind of background. It's kind of hard to approach using the scripture, because, you know, I just say God overall. I mean, that's universe. just leave it there and just let them meditate on that. But
okay. Let's do this.
Concerning your website, Reverend Duncan, concerning your website, when I went on the website to page to pull the program up, to pull the program up, I couldn't pull that screen up. Well, that part in that section, it didn't come on to where that you can click and listen. It's not there.
Which program was it that you were looking for?
Well, today's program, but I had to go back.
I see.
You know, the Tuesday, and then put it up, and then I came in on like that. But just on the regular page that it comes up on, the only thing that's on there is concerning your Facebook page.
I have to check that. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I have to check that. I have to go back and make sure that's in order. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Generally, what you do is when you go to the home page, the link to the Blog Talk Show and the web, the Facebook page, the Twitter, as well as I have a YouTube page where you can see previously lectures and seminars we did. Usually you can click them, but I'll check and see that. I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. We'll definitely look at that.
You know, I know you had some people to tune in, so they won't be able to tune in if they haven't tuned in before. They'll have to go back to Tuesday and then go in on that, and then they can, you know, listen to what you're talking about tonight. But the page itself, that part is not there.
Okay, I'll definitely look at it. I'll certainly look at it.
All right.
Okay. So let me hear from Barb Molly right quick. I asked him, gentlemen. We got about 22 minutes here before we get out of here. I asked Barb. I said, is it real to think that God will come from heaven to earth and will fix our problems for us and help us to compete down here in this real world? That's what I was asking Bob Marley. Let me see what he says here. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. 657-383-0944. There's still time to call and join us. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would you agree with Bob Marley that the expectation that God is going to come from heaven and make everybody do what is right is unreal?
Well, you got that. It's a great point. You're right about that, man. I mean, God has already done his part.
He done his part.
Yeah, he done what he had to do. And, you know, and that's why when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, you know, once we learn of him, we understand how to operate in his kingdom. You know, when the word says the Lord and the fullness thereof, I mean, what does that mean? I have a right to stand up for what's right? You know, how do I stand up for what's right? and help me stand for what's right. No, he's already given us, man. And if you don't know, as I myself didn't know, you know, I'm always, you know, waiting on someone to instruct me in what to do.
But now, you can't do what I can do.
It's a bunch of mess.
I won't be rude. But now, that's good in heaven. I'm talking about right here on earth, man. We need some people.
Yeah.
People ain't doing right here on earth, man. They ain't treating us right. Government ain't treating us right. Sometimes your neighbors ain't right. You know what I mean? Things ain't right.
Yeah, I never knew who the government was when I was caught up in the trap, so I'm definitely not concerned about who the government is now. I don't know who is the government. I'm being honest. And as I say, man, what I'm dealing with here in this life, man, is just now learning, waking up, sleep for all those years, nodding.
Mm.
Yes, and who had me in that position? Who had that kind of power, you know, that I was able to, once upon a time, look back over it and see I was in that position like that, nodding with my head down for all those years?
My glory. My glory.
You know, and then I got in contact with the lifter up of my head. And now I understand now, hey, man, I didn't instruct you to hold your head down, you know, thinking that was cool. But how is that cool? Me looking like that, man. You know, and I think that was just a wicked thing, whoever it was that was able to know what's going to take place if someone tried this drug, and all of a sudden you're going to think, you know, oh, man, I tell you, it's amazing, brother. But to stand up for your rights, you know, I have a right to be free, and I don't have to ask anyone not be free.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
In John 8:32 saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Well,
now, that didn't say
free.
The government. It says the truth. I mean, according to the word, man, I didn't know it at first.
Right.
Yes, I'm honest about that.
That's
I didn't know it at first. But why would I have to depend on something or someone else to tell me I'm
to
free now?
Wow. That's what
when
Bob
the word
was saying.
Of God to me, you know, that to me, man, you know, I still feel bad about it. I know I do. I'm okay with it. I'm learning how to strive and become all right with it, but it takes some time. You know, it hurts, you know, to know what I've learned. You understand what I'm saying? And I mean, I don't know a lot, but the little bit that I've learned, man, it actually hurts to know the harm that I did, man. You know, to memory. I mean, that don't feel good at all when I think about it.
I get
at all.
I
who has that type of power? You know, but it happened. So, you know.
Sure.
But today, again, I'm just grateful to know that I'm not adding to the problem.
Okay. Well here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. What I heard Bob Marley say, the message in his song, is when you know you got a right and you stand up for it, that's when your change and when your freedom will come. But, Charles, if you don't learn the rules and if you don't learn the rule and the nature of the game, you'll never know what you got a right to.
That's right.
So you don't know what you're losing, and you don't know who is stealing from you if you don't know what you got. There's a lot of things that you have a right to. You don't know it exists, though.
Right. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Outcast, what
are
you going to say?
Okay. Bob Marley. Let me go into my Outcast, my somewhat autobiography. Bob Marley.
Okay.
That song, that was a revolutionary song. During that period of time, I think it was, Jamaica, you had the JLP. And the SLP, like you got the Democrats and the Republicans here in the United States. They got the, it's the JLP and the SLP. And Bob Marley, he was running a candidate to be elected.
Okay.
I guess all this surrounds that song also. If you remember those Jamaicans, what was that, the Shotters Party? You know about this?
The Maroon.
They're going to get you 50, 100,000 times the Shotters Party. That's a revolutionary song. Stand up, fight for your rights.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You know, and God help those sales. So therefore, get up, go and get it. You know, nothing, anything, like you say, anything that's free, a lot of times, it's really no good.
Wow.
You know, I remember you were talking about the guy, you know, that smoked that marijuana, you know, labeled that embalming fluid. It was free.
Yeah.
But that's Bob Marley, though. That's probably a revolutionary song. The JLP and the SLP, you know, and the Shadow Spotted. And I hold it right there. You know, with Bob Marley, you know, you was smoking the weed, you know, you was smoking marijuana, you know, Shadow Spotted. They were doing
drugs. But he was telling the truth, But he was telling the truth, though.
Well, let me be quiet. I'll be quiet.
Charles, you were going to say something before we get and that's a good. We're going to the last part of Bob Marley. Charles, were you going to say something before we get
I gotta say my thing is like you gotta be what are you willing to die for?
Wow.
I'm gonna let you know what you know about what you're surrounding. What are you willing to die for? I don't think you have to wait on God. But if I go biblical, of course I'm gonna have to wait for God to descend back from heaven back to the earth according to Scripture.
Mm.
But to me, I see God being alive today. And if God is alive today in spirit, then He's with you. When he told the people in the Bible to go up against Moab and different type of things in the Bible, I mean, He said go. He told you go ahead. Don't even, the battle's already won. I think my people are scared to go.
Wow.
Scared to go. Wait on somebody else to do it.
You own it. You own it, child. You really
mm-hmm.
own it. Man. And they
the battle's already won. You got to show up, though. Yeah. Everybody in the Bible, he made go do something. They were scared. Everybody was scared. Joseph was scared. Everybody was scared, but he already went before you, and the battle's already won. So they let you know you're going to have
right.
to walk this thing together.
Mm.
That's right.
Because I like break it up.
Huh?
Basically, what y'all are saying is that God has already done his part. The battle's already won. That's what you're saying. I like it.
That's heavy, man. That's heavy. All right, look, let me squeeze this in. We got 13 minutes. This is T. I asked Bob Marley, what happens when people see the light? When you come to the light, you're in the game. You maybe have lost a few rounds, but you finally saw the light. You got your strength now. What you do, Bob? What happened then? Let's see what he said. You can fool, and gentlemen, it's a lot of people trying to fool a whole lot of folks. But guess what? I'm glad to know. You can't fool everybody all the time.
That's right.
When you see the light, when you know the truth, that's what Pastor was talking about. When you know the truth, it can make you free.
Yep.
It can make you free.
That's real.
Yeah.
But you got to know
There's
it.
There's a door. You got to know it. There's a door of opportunity waiting, outcast, for you to come out that cave and just walk into the light. The light ain't going to come to you. Look, the light ain't going to come to you. Excuse my English. The light will not come to you in the cave. But if you come in it, you can walk in the light and you can see where you're going.
I agree, and I don't remember the verse. You know, I don't never put too many verses in my head, you know, book-wise, scripture-wise. So
okay.
It touches in the Bible case. Those that have eyes cannot see. Those that have ears cannot hear. I forgot exactly where it was. You know, I mean, I read
eyes
it, you know.
Eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard.
Am I not
That's
correct?
In Proverbs. That's in Proverbs, my friend.
Yeah.
Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard.
So, again, coming out of that darkness into the light. Coming out of that cave.
Mm.
You know.
Mm.
I'll hold right now.
Mm. No, that don't. No, you wide open now, gone. You full throttle now, brother.
Nah, it's okay. Some other time. I like all the comments.
Yes, sir. So, we got 10 minutes to kind of wrap this conversation up. In the interest of those who may listen later and those that are listening now, the most important thing I want to leave on the floor with this topic, the game of life, and that is, it may seem that in the game that you didn't ask to be a participant of, that there's some unfairness, there's some unscrupulous people, there are some referees who are cheating for the other side. That may be the case, and you may not be able to prove that they're cheating. I tell you what my coach used to tell us. when we played that, we played football. He said, y'all go out there and you put them points on the board. Run this ball, work these plays, and get the points on the board. They can't never take that away from you once they put them on the board. They can cheat all they want to, but they can't take the points away from you. And the more you know, the more you know, the better your better position you're in to control your outcome. So who determines whether you win or lose? You determine. I don't care what nobody else is trying to do to set a trap for you. The more you know, you're in control of whether you win or whether you lose. Now, really, I don't think there's a real loser, because even if you, y'all, slip up and fall and make a mistake, that don't mean you lost.
No.
That don't mean you lost. You ain't at the game.
No.
You ain't at the game. So you're a winner as long as you're willing to what? Stay in the race.
That's it. That's right. That is it, bro.
Tech said, can I tell you what the text said one more time? This is my favorite verse right here. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance is available
to
all of us. In other words, in time, there's a chance you all may succeed or you may fail. It's up to you, though. You got to stay in the race, baby. You got to stay in that race. You got to keep yourself in the race. Life sometimes will put pressure on you. Sometimes it'll make you feel bad. It'll beat you down. It'll tire you out. But as long as you're in the race, there's a chance you can win. I didn't come to preach, Outcast, but I felt my help right there.
Hey,
it's okay. And it's the truth. You know? I mean, that's all. Don't none beat the lie, but the truth. And what you said is the
man,
truth.
I mean, that's where we got to come in honesty and love to your sisters, too, but young brothers in particular. Let them know, look, man, I hear you. I know you're mad. I know why you're mad. I understand that. And you got a right to be mad. But understand something. What you do today can take you out of the race, and you'll never be able to see the end tomorrow. So let's think about it,
right?
And let's be wise in our moving.
Go ahead.
But, okay, got 6 minutes. Wind us down here. Yeah. Any final thoughts there, Charles or Outcast?
No comment. I'll let you take it
Charles,
out if you want to take it.
All right, Charles, you got any final thoughts there before we get out of here, man?
Man, you said it right, man. You gotta stay in the race. But my thing is, I need to see a whole lot of more action out here, not just to talk, man. I want to be alive to see this. I don't know, a lot of people that lost their lives just never gonna know if it's gonna come to pass. If you need anything, you still alive. You owe it. You owe it. Just say, people lost their lives before you. That's all I can say.
Okay. That, you know, Charles, I want you to know you're putting pressure on me, brother. Every time you say that, you're putting pressure on me, man. You got me in the corner. You got me on the cross, man. I got to come down there. But that's where it is, man. That's where it is. We got to take conversation and make it action. I mean, I feel you on that. And you may not have seen the fact that over the last 15 years in Nashville, that's what I've been dedicating myself to, action. But you're absolutely right, man. I appreciate you constantly reminding me. We got to make this thing real, man, where people can see it. So I feel you, big brother. I feel you. All right. Well, Pastor Wally, you want to go ahead and wind us down, and then we're going to make our way out of here, man.
Yeah, man. Great show. I thank God for the brothers, you know, and for
yes,
what
sir.
You're doing, Pastor. But I'd like to
great
share
question.
Something according to what, again, I've learned. In this book entitled Still High.
Okay.
It has in there information, and it talks about darkness being a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's what it is. It's a lifestyle. Darkness is a lifestyle. And then it says, the light also is a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Then you ask the question, which one will you choose? So,
wow.
Next night, you can be in darkness. Now, day or night, you can be in light. It's all about which one you choose. And either way, lifestyle. And so I want to encourage anyone that's tuned in to recognize that the enemy don't want you to recognize the power of walking in the light.
Mm.
It happens. When I thought I was walking in the light, I was actually walking in darkness, man. So I just appreciate knowing the difference between the two, you know. And as long as I trust me, I know I'm walking in the darkness. But if I'm going to trust in God and allow him to lead me and direct my pathway, I know then that I'm walking in the light, man. So just be encouraged and know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or even begin to think. Keep doing what you're doing, Pastor Doctor, because I believe it's effective.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. All right. All right. Well, you can, by the way, Pastor Waller and I have agreed that we're going to use his reference book, Still High, as an instructional tool. And so we're grateful that we have an arrangement. I don't think you mind me saying this, but we have an arrangement where every time someone purchases it through BFC, he is going to make a contribution to BFC for what we're trying to do. So we thank God for what you're doing, sir. You can get that book on the webpage as well. Go to the Contact Us link, and then you'll hover over it and open up the back store, and you'll find the book there and other promotional items that you can. When you make a contribution, we like to give you a gift to say thank you for what you do. But you can get that book there, $15, and he will make a contribution to our cause and continue to spread that knowledge and truth. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have had our good friend, Brother Charles Outcast, to join us tonight. Great conversation, gentlemen. I pray that someone will hear these words and it will enlighten someone. I'm certainly trying to get it in the ears of some of these little cats that I described to you earlier on the show tonight. That wasn't a fictitious character. That was a real somebody. That was a real somebody I had the occasion of dealing with in the recent time. So it's real, and the struggle is real. But you don't lose the game until you take yourself out of it. Don't ever take yourself out of the game. Know the rules, play them, and eventually you'll be able to make your own game. Somebody else has to play by your rules. With that said, gentlemen, we're going to get out of Dodge, and we hope to be back next Tuesday. Have sick family. My mom is a little ill out of town, so we'll probably be on the road doing a little traveling here in the next week or so. But we will try to air from that city that we're in.
Praise God.
All right.
Right. Good night.
Good night. We're going to go off. We're going to leave with a little bit of the last part of my good friend here, Cuba Gooden, because I like the way he said, don't give up. Don't ever. Talks.